Again, I appreciate God. Say, God, I believe you tonight, and I believe your words. I stand by the truth of your words. Lord, I believe whatsoever you have said, it shall come to pass in my life. Lord, I stand by your words. Oh, Lord, this time again, I stand by your word. Holy Spirit, take control. Yes, that your word will become life in my life. Holy Spirit, take over. Have your way. Speak to our hearts. Bless us again in this year as we come to another season of studying your word. The word is yea and amen, and is renewed every morning. Holy Spirit, we call upon your name. Be with us this hour. Strengthen us on this wonderful and glorious new year. Blessed be your name, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Our Father, we are here once again to learn from you. I pray that you speak to every heart tonight, and you will energize our spirit man to believe you and trust you more in Jesus' name. I pray that everyone shall be liberated and set free from every weaknesses and everything that press a man down, not to be able to operate in the realm of faith. Lord, such things shall be cast out tonight in Jesus' name. Every weakness is in the heart, Lord, take it away. Let it be that the revival from heaven will come upon each and everyone. Lord, take control tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, come again into this year to study the Bible and to increase our knowledge of God and our faith in Him. I am starting tonight to talk on the changes that we are expecting in the world today. The world we live is going through some changes, and except we know it and follow the way it is, we might not be able to meet up with God's plan and program for the time. One of the things that is affecting so many people in the church is that they don't understand the program of God. Neither do they know how to work with Him. As we have been able to come into a new year, it is a year where God is going to do new things in our lives. And we must be able to work with God on that level so that so many things we want to see in our lives, we will see them in Jesus' name. Changes we should expect in the world today. You know, the Bible talks about some people who understand what Israel ought to do. And that is very, 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 very important. When you know what we are supposed to be doing, it will help you as an individual to be able to walk with God wonderfully. In the book of Matthew chapter 24, we discover that Jesus was talking about some changes that was going to come to take place in the world. Matthew 24. The Bible says from verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the beauties of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. What was he saying? He was saying that changes was going to take place in the world at a particular time. Verse 3, he said, as he sat upon the mount of Olives, disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Two things, the sign of thy coming and the end of the world. having told them that, see, that there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down, they came to him again privately to ask him, tell us, what is the sign of thy coming? Tell us what is going to happen, the events that are going to take place in the world, and what is going to happen before the end of the world. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. I've told you before, the deception is going to be a very strong thing in these last days. And I pray that you will not be deceived in Jesus' name. Jesus told them, take heed that no man deceive you. Verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, and for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nations, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine, pestilence, and earthquakes in divers places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. If you watch the world today, earthquake, pestilence, all manner of trouble, famine. And he said, this is the beginning of sorrow. And truly, it is the beginning of sorrow. You see that these things have been happening for quite some years now. People are thinking that it was going to end. But no, it is the beginning of sorrow. More problems are coming. Just imagine why COVID-19, when 2021, COVID-19, who started somewhere in 2019. And by 2020, people were thinking, oh, maybe it's over. But as we come into a new year, it's, they say another wave, second wave. You know, so what about those who have died? 2019, 2020. People have died of these things, and yet they are saying that it's the beginning, that it's not yet over. And that Jesus said, all these things, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And those things are going on. People are betraying one another. People are hating one another. Even in the body of Christ. You see, even in the church. But thank God, God is opening our eyes to see. And we are beginning to step up. And that's why I'm believing that this year, you will really step up in your faith in Jesus' name. That you will not be in delusion. You will not be under deception, because so many believers have been deceived. They are just there. They are under the captivity of these end time prophecies. That Jesus said, many shall be offended. Are you going to be one of them that will be offended? Many shall betray one another. Are you going to be one of them that will betray one another? And shall hate one another. What about hatred now? Some of the things I see and hear today really baffle me. Because how, it's like, how does the mighty fallen? Praise the Lord. You know, people will preach this gospel, but yet they become a victim of it. That's why we need to be very careful. Amen. You preach the gospel and you become a victim of what you preach. And it says in verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. I pray the grace to endure, you will receive in Jesus' name. He that will endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. I stop there a while. This gospel, the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the events of this last day shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then the end shall come. Understand one thing. He didn't say that this gospel shall be preached and everybody shall be converted. It is said that this gospel shall be preached all over the world and everybody shall be saved. No. As a witness to all nations. That people will know that there is Jesus.
people will have heard, whether they are saved, whether they repent or not, that's not the issue. There is a witness. They have heard. Praise the Lord. And I believe so many people, places, and so many people all over the world have heard about Jesus, have heard about the gospel, whether they heard it well or not, as a witness into all nations. And then shall the end come. Hallelujah. So, there are changes that are bound to come in this present world that we live, that will surprise those that don't believe Jesus and those that believe Jesus in hypocrisy. You know, there are people who do not believe, and there are people who believe in hypocrisy. They say, okay, there's Jesus, yes, wonderful, but they are hypocrites. They are not serious about it. They are not committed to it. But yet, they believe Jesus. So, that's why the Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19, it says, if only in this world our hope is in Christ, we have all men most miserable. If only, that's where hypocrisy comes. If only your belief in Jesus is just for the enjoyment of the world, then you are a miserable man. Because I'm going to tell you in this teaching, as God will give me grace, about God's plan, God's program for us, which is beautiful, which many do not understand. Understanding is very important. Philip said to the Ethiopian eunuch, understand that word thou readest. So many do not understand this Bible. And it's making many to stumble. Amen. When you hear about the new world order, it is part of the changes that are divinely ordained to take place so that God will fulfill his original plan for man. New world order. New world order talking about people that will go... The people of the world coming together in one religion or one government to be able to manage the world. Amen. That's a new world order. And already you have the people who say that all religions will become one. Christianity, Muslim, Buddhism, all manner of idolatry, traditional things, all of them becoming one. All those things are preparation for the changes that are taking place and are going to take place in the world. So, that was why in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says, from verse 1. Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Amen. Take note of these words in this scripture. Our gathering together unto him. One, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him. So, we are going to gather together unto Jesus. Verse 2. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by words, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Amen. That you will not be soon shaken in mind, that you will not be afraid. Because these things I'm teaching are things that made many, some people to be afraid. I will tell you why you will not be afraid, and I will tell you things that will make you not to be afraid. Praise the Lord. That when you hear about the coming of the Lord, there should be no fear in your heart. You should not be shaking in mind or be troubled, neither by spirits, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, at that the day of Christ is at hand. Now, you know, when you tell so many people, listen to me, the reason why you see so many churches are concerned only about preaching, success, prosperity, and all of those things, is because people are afraid. Listen to me. People are afraid when they hear about Jesus coming again. It used to send some fear into their heart. But and that is what we need to know, so that you will not be afraid, because knowledge takes away fear. Praise the Lord. Knowledge takes away fear.
But so many people, they are afraid. In verse 3, it said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except they come in falling away first, and that the son and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, your mind should not be shaken or be afraid when you hear about the events of these last days. So some people, some Christians, there should be nothing like that. They should not be talking about that at all. Because they have plans that they are yet to carry out. They have visions yet unfulfilled. Therefore, those things has to be done before the rapture will come. Praise the Lord. Listen to me. I remember in 1996, before I got married, when I studied this Matthew 24, I've already started my marriage process then. I was saying, if I had known, I couldn't have even gone into marriage. 1996, that's about 20, this year, maybe 25 years. I was saying to myself, I would not be talking about marriage. Let me just wait for the coming of the Lord. And I was thinking that it will not be long. Maybe just that year or 1 year after, or 2 years after, the rapture will happen. But I still went ahead, get married, and this is 25 years now. But you know what? There are some things that I've gained from those things. It makes me to know that what you know will make you to be above certain things in life. If you don't know them, you will not be above them. So many believers don't care about this. I remember a particular friend of mine those days, when we were in the school, he would be telling me, every time I'm reading the book of Daniel, really talking about Revelation or the end times, you forget about these things. Yes. Why should we forget about those things? Are they not in the Bible? Are they not going to happen? The best thing is for us to settle down and know them so that you will not be afraid when the event comes. Like all these events in the world now, so many people are full of fear. I told you last year how so many Christians are full of fear. You enter into this year full of fear that, coronavirus, they will capture you. No gathering together. It will transfer. Social distance. This and that. Don't shake somebody's hand. Now, why are you going to be afraid? Don't you know that these are part of the events of the last days? So many believers feel that those things should not be touched at all. What we talk about is our success in the world, our blessings, our miracles, and so on and so forth. It's not only like that. Praise the Lord. Apart from the fact that God, absolutely, God have absolute power to do whatsoever he wants to do in the world at any time, it is also expected that we get the adequate knowledge that will enable us to be well prepared for the events of the last day. God has absolute power to do whatsoever he wants to do in the world. If he say everything should off, it will off. If he say the thing should continue, it will continue. But our own duty is to get adequate knowledge. It's one thing to get knowledge. It's another thing to get adequate knowledge. Because if your knowledge is not adequate enough, it might not prepare you enough as well. Knowledge is very powerful because what you know, you will not be afraid of it. If you know that if a man die, that there is a better place prepared for him by God, the Creator, then you will not be afraid of death. Hello? Take note of this. If there's anything people fear in this world, it's what? Mr. Death. Is that not true? People fear death. Yes. Why? Because they don't know what death is all about. They don't understand what is death. If they know it, when you study death and you understand what is death, you will not be afraid of death. Amen? The apostles, the Bible says, in Revelation chapter 12, the Bible says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their life even unto death. Why? Why? This is a question. We must ask. Revelation 12:11.
Oh, may God give you understanding in this message in Jesus' name. I want to speak as careful and as slow as possible because you need understanding. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him, who? Satan. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. What does it mean? They were not afraid of death. Hello? They weren't afraid of death because why? They had knowledge. Amen? They had knowledge about death. They knew what death was all about. The Bible says in Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What you know, you will not be afraid of it. If you can understand what Mr. Death is all about, you won't fear death. You won't bother about death. People that even say they want to die, they don't easily die. Hello? It is even those who are afraid of death that they want to die quickly. So, all we need to know is to have knowledge about these things. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 1, Apostle Peter was saying something in 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse, I read from verse 11. He says, for so an entrance shall be administered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it me, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to cheer you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath shown me. Amen. You know what Peter was just, he was just telling you about death. As my Lord Jesus have shown me, I will put off this tabernacle. I will put this thing off very soon. You know, these are people who understand. They have been taught. Jesus showed them. They had the knowledge. So they were not afraid to die. Praise God. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They don't know many things and they are afraid. So, you see, I'm going to put all this and I'm putting you in remembrance. And that is one of the things I want to do this year. You need to remember many things. Don't be a forgetful hearer. Remember what we have taught. Remember the war. Remember what is coming to pass in the war so that you can be well prepared. Your faith will become stronger when you know what you need to know. Hallelujah. Yes. He said, yea, I think it made, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to cheer you up by putting you in remembrance. When you remember things, your mind will be stirred up. You know, listen to me. One of the plans I have this year is to, I used to have those from radio where I used to listen to my messages all the time. I want to have those things. I want you to do the same thing. Get some of this message to be. Get more radio. It's not too costly. Maybe 2,000-3,000 you get. Get memory card. Get these messages. From time to time, listen. That is how you build up your faith. That's how you will not easily forget. It's not just like we hear the message from the pulpit. Go back and listen to them. Praise the Lord. When I listen to some of my messages that were preached, it quickly stirred me up. You know, we make mistakes a lot because we do not listen back to what we have heard before. Amen. Peter was telling them, I want to put you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put up this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus has shown me. So when we have known it, we will no longer be afraid. We will know how to be prepared. We will know how to be ready. We will not be worried. God expects us to seek after knowledge so that all the evil plans of the devil will be clear to us before they even carry them out. Amen? Yes. Before Satan even carry out his evil plan, you will know them. It will become clear. So you will no longer be afraid. Because the Bible says, through knowledge shall the just be delivered. If you have enough knowledge, it gives you deliverance. It gives you deliverance. Very, very important. It makes you to be free. That is in Proverbs 11, verse 9. He says, an hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. When you have adequate knowledge, you have quick deliverance. Amen. Amen. You quickly have deliverance. So, what are the events coming to pass in the world? Number one. Number two, when are they going to happen? Number three, what preparation are we supposed to make to be on the safe side? These are the things we'll be looking onto. As far as I can go tonight, I leave it to next time. Let's look at what are the events coming to pass in the world. In the studies of eschatology, that is the studies of the last day's events, there is supposed to be the rapture, which is the catching away of the saints from the earth before the Antichrist will take over this present world. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4, reading from verse 13. He said, but I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus shall God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Today, what we need is these things to comfort our hearts. When you see the troubles, the difficulties in the world, the pestilence, the evil, you need to know that there are changes that are taking place. You need to know that God has planned these things ahead, so that you will not be shaken in mind. So that you will not be troubled. You will be ready. After the rapture, the world will still continue. Amen. It is not the end of the world, but rather it will be the end of grace. The rapture is not the end of the world. It is the end of the season of grace. This grace of salvation we enjoy now will come to an end after the rapture. If the trumpet sound, just like Apostle Paul was saying here, that you don't need to be ignorant. You see what he said? You don't need to be ignorant, brethren. Ignorance is bad. Ignorance is very bad. Many that are not saved, it's not because they wouldn't have loved to be saved, because they are ignorant of salvation. They don't know about it. They are not even bothered. You know, I used to tell us, no matter how old you are, if you didn't go to primary school, you didn't go to secondary school, you cannot even know how to read and write. Amen. You cannot say your child who is in primary 1, primary 2, or primary 3 may know how to read and write, and you now, maybe it's just 5 years or 6 years, and you now, you are 50 years old, and you say, I will beat you in writing or in reading. You cannot. Your age is not the issue. The small boy went to school. You didn't go. So you didn't know how to read and write. So because of that, he knows more than you in that area. Praise the Lord. You may have experience more than him, but he knows more than you. You come and read now. Give you Bible to read. You can't read it. But he will just read it. Because he studied. He went and know it. So that is the same thing. The same thing with these things I'm telling you now. When you study this thing and know them, you will not be afraid. Knowledge makes a man not to be afraid. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. You know, when somebody died, oh, my beloved has died, and you are sorrowful. The issue is, it's not the sorrow that he has died, it's not the issue. Is his sorrow should be, is was he born again? Is he going to be in the other world with the Lord? That's what sorrow should be. He said, so that you will not be sorrow about the brethren that have died. That there is hope for them. We are not hopeless people. Praise the Lord. And if you know that, you will not be worried about even this Mr. died. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also we sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Jesus died and rose again. Is that not so? Everyone that truly died in Jesus will rise again. Amen? Simple. That's our gospel. Everyone that truly died in Jesus will rise again. So, he said, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. No. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an angel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That is the rapture we are talking about. I said, when that time comes, the Lord comes in the air, then the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, those who are alive at that time, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. That is catching away of the saint to meet the Lord in the air. If these things are recorded in the Bible, it will happen. Oh, amen. I say it will happen. Do you know that? So I don't know why people are not interested in things like this. It will happen like that. Those who are alive shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And that's what we want. That's what we are looking for. He said we should comfort one another with these things. So if there are pains in your life, understand that it will not last for too long. Amen? If there are inconveniences you are passing through, understand that it will not last for too long. If there are cases you pray and pray, maybe it has not come, it will come. Even if it doesn't come now, you will soon forget them forever and ever. Amen? Because God has a better plan. Hallelujah. So, after the rapture, the world will still continue. It will not be the end of the world, as I said, but rather, it will be the end of grace. So the possibility of someone getting saved after the rapture will not be there, because the Holy Spirit, who is the one in charge of salvation, will go with the saints in the rapture. Praise the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit that will be the one that will help the saints to be raptured. So you will go. It is called the end of the church age. Praise the Lord. It's called the end of the church age. This church, the church that was given birth at Pentecost, will be taken away from the earth at the rapture. Praise the Lord. You know, the church age came in the Pentecost in Acts of Apostles chapter 2. That was when Jesus gave birth to the church, which we are talking about today. In Acts chapter 2 verse 1, the Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with the other tongue as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise the Lord. So when the Pentecost came, that was where church began. The worshiping began, because after Jesus left, told them to tarry in Jerusalem, wait there, I'm coming. There will not, this worship will not take place. I'm coming with the power from on high. So when the power comes, then you cannot have power to go and preach and establish churches and gather the brethren together. So that was when the Pentecost now came on that day. You see, after that time, Peter stood and was telling them, this was the promise that was made. It has happened now. It was then 3,000 so God saved that they praised the Lord and they gathered. So they needed to, that was the beginning of the church age. And the church age is going to come to an end in the rapture. Praise the Lord. So these are the knowledge we must keep abreast of. It must be part of us. We must have them in our mind. So that whenever it happens, you will not be taken unaware. You will not be taken unaware. Then, after the rapture, then the Antichrist will be in full force to execute his plan, which will be for about 7 years, 3.5 years of good reign and 3.5 years of terror. To make this easy, there will be a mark given to all the occupants of the earth with number 666. That is what we saw in Revelation chapter 13 from verse 7. Revelation chapter 13 from verse 7. The reason why mark 666 will come is because you have to be identified with the world government, the Antichrist government. It will come. Let us not say, Jesus, don't let it come. Oh, it will come. It's there. We don't know. It may be this year. May not be this year. Maybe next year. Maybe 10 years to come. Maybe 5 years to come. Maybe next 2 years. But let's know that the events of these days is showing that the thing will not be long. Praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 13 from verse 7. The Bible says, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. The people whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life, they are going to face trouble. They are going to face trouble. See, then all that dwell upon the earth shall worship the beast. This beast, they will worship the beast. Whose name are not written in the book of life of the Lamb of God from the foundation of the earth. Any man that have ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saint. You know, the devil is in charge of this world. Let me tell you briefly that this very world where we live, take note, Satan is who they call the God of this world, this present world. That's why you see sinner seems to be having upper hand. Jesus has his own world. Let's prepare for that one. Amen. Let us not want to take this one and see, oh, hey, this is our world. Mm-mm. Praise God. Hallelujah. The reason why Jesus came to die on the cross is because things have been contaminated. So he needed to get his own people out of this contaminated world. He needed to get his own people out. Then the devil and his false prophets and his antichrist, whosoever, all of them, those wicked rulers and wicked dogs, they will be judged. Then another world will come. Praise the Lord. That's God's plan. That's God's plan. He that leadeth to captivity shall go into captivity. You know how to lead people into captivity, you will soon enter into captivity. That's the meaning. The devil not to keep people in bondage, he will soon enter into bondage. This Satan that people are dreading all over, he was so entitled to bondage. He said in verse 11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them which dwelt therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wounds was healed, and he doeth great wonder, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wounds by a sword and did live, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Praise the Lord. That is what's going to happen in this world. Where are you going to be buying and selling? It's in this world. So if we want the beast to be worshipped, and that is what they will set up, an image that everybody should worship. So those who will not want to worship should be killed. Praise the Lord. These are the things that are going to happen. We are believing. This is where in the Christianity today, there are some school of thought saying that there's going to be a great tribulation, greater than what we are, because there's already tribulation already in the world. There's going to be a great tribulation before the rapture. But what I believe and what I know is that it is in the midst of trouble. What is tribulation? Tribulation is trouble, great trouble. Now, it is in the midst of great trouble when the saints will be passing through some tough time, and the Lord himself now know the time is set, they can no longer be. Then the trumpet will sound, and the saints will be taken up. Whosoever missed the rapture at that time, well, if or maybe by mistake he missed it, he has to pay with his own blood. Praise the Lord. Because the blood of Jesus has finished his work. Grace has come. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, that is what is the event that are going to come to pass in the world. So, it's already saying that know that there is a better place for them that will resist the mark of the beast. If he, let him assume it's going to happen now before the trumpet sound. They will say, okay, everybody take mark. Just like they're talking about vaccine now. We don't really know what the vaccine is all about. Everybody take mark. Let's assume it's going to be now. The saints who know that the Bible have said these things will resist and say, no, we don't want any mark. I was saying, some people are saying, like I read in the news, that in South Africa, they employ soldiers to help them to enforce the vaccine for this COVID-19. Is it by force to give people vaccine? Leave them alone now. If somebody says he's not going to take anything and he wants to die, let him die. Is it your life? Praise the Lord. But because there are some other things that are attached to it, they want to force people. Praise God. Praise God. Look at in Revelation chapter 15, verse 1 to 4. He said, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are the works, are thy works, Lord God Almighty, are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Praise the Lord. We shall sing a new song. We shall resist. We shall have victory over the beast and his image in the name of Jesus. We are the one to sing the song of Moses, because we are going to have victory over the mark of the beast. We are going to have victory over the image of the beast. We will not worship any images. Jesus is our Lord. And we will stand on that point to the end in Jesus' name. So, as I was saying, after 7 years of the reign of the Antichrist, then the war of Armageddon will take place. Then will the Lord come from heaven with his saying, for war, to take over the earth from the Antichrist. Praise God. That's the word we are waiting for. That's the word we are waiting for. During the reign of the Antichrist, on earth, there will be a reunion of the saints, both of the old saints and the new saints in the rapture in heaven with the Lord. That is what will take place at that time. That's what we call the marriage supper of the Lamb. There will be a reunion of the saints, both the old saints and the new saints that comes at the rapture, will be having the marriage supper of the Lamb with the Lord. That's what the Bible says, so shall we always be with the Lord. So, that time is going to be beautiful. I want to be there. And I hope you will be there too in Jesus' name. In Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. From verse 7, the Bible says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife had made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Those are the, when we preach righteousness, that's the reason. That's our clothes. That's what we will wear to be in that marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see that thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and all thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon it was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horse, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treaded the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty God. And he had on his virtue and on his tithe a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourself together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and flesh of captains and flesh of the mighty men and flesh of horses and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, and both small and great. That, you know, that is what used to pain me, that where the mighty are going to be feasted upon by the beasts of the air after the war at the Armageddon. The small will also be there. The small are great. Poor people. People will not know. They will also be there. It's not only rich people. It's not only all these bad governments or bad president or bad politicians. Small people will be there too. Can't people think? Can they think? Some people have enjoyed their own in this world already. You didn't even enjoy anything here, and you still want to go and join them to suffer? That would be very bad. Verse 19, and I saw the beast and the king of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worship his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Praise the Lord. So, that is what is going to happen. During that war, Jesus will fight with the Antichrist, with the false prophet. There will be a terrible war that so many people will be killed. So many people will die. So, it is after that, then are we going to have the what we are waiting for. Praise the Lord. In chapter 20, look at it. It says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, and that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon him, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hand. And they live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. Amen. Do you want to reign with Christ 1,000 years? Now, listen to me. This is where I've been round up tonight. 1,000 years is not a small thing. It's a long period of time. A long period of time. What we are talking about now is this world. Maybe Jesus died about 1,000 years ago. 1,000 years, I mean about 2,000 years ago, which is at about 2033, it will be a complete 2,000 years, because AD, that after the death of Christ, is what they are counting down to where we are now. Praise the Lord. Now, 1,000 years is not a small thing. That time is going to be a normal life. It's going to be a normal life. On earth, it's not in heaven. Praise God. On earth. That's why they call it a 1,000-year millennial reign on earth. So that is the world where we want to be. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 1 to 3, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. So when I come and take you to be with me. Now, when he come, at that time, he will be the chairman of that government, will be the president of that government. The Satan will be banned. You saw how it is written here now. This devil will be banned and be kept in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. He will not be able to deceive anybody. During the millennial reign, there will be people who didn't believe Jesus, but no more power to commission, no more power to fight against the sense of God. Amen? Because the instigator, the devil, will no more be there. Hallelujah. The devil will no more be there to instigate them any longer. So that reign, Jesus will come and reign in the world, and the saints who have worked with him will be in charge of so many places all over. Then it is after that 1,000 years before we'll be talking about a new heaven and a new earth. Praise the Lord. Before we'll be talking about a new heaven and a new earth. So God has a plan for us, which I don't want you to lose the sight of it, because I will touch that area now before I pray, because we'll come back to it later. That is where the problem lies. That people are carried away by this present world. One of those meetings, Jim Rees or so, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. Now, the issue is that this very world is not our home. Hello? We need to know it. When you see the sinners are gyrating with their beer, with their kidnapping money, and they're using it to buy car or whatsoever, don't bother. This is their home. Amen. Anyone that refuses to repent, this is their home. They have nothing else. But those who repent, this is not our home. This world is not our home. We are just passing through. We are passing through. There's a world where we will enjoy to the full. No sorrow, no pain there. That's what we want to prepare for now. When we talk about evangelism, what are we doing evangelism for? We are talking about evangelism because we want to win people to that world. Amen. Amen. We want to win people to that world. That's our concern now. So that we will be able to do evangelism. Evangelism is convincing people to come to worship our God. Listen to me. Listen to me. Because many people misconceive. They don't understand this thing. Evangelism is not just carrying people to come and put in the church who will come and become troubling the church or troubling the pastor or become an agent of Satan in the church. No. Nor is it just to go and be preaching. It's getting people, winning people to the kingdom of our God. That's evangelism. Praise the Lord. That's what the apostles were doing. Winning people to the kingdom of our God. We have a country where we are going. We have a place where we have power. In this one now, we may not have much power. Praise God. We may not be able to become president and governors and control like they have millions. Even if food is costly, it doesn't concern them. They allow anything to spoil. We may not do that now, but there is a world where we will have power. Praise the Lord. We want to win people to that world. You know, some people just think that when we talk about heaven and hell, it's all about, oh, if somebody die, maybe just like some people are made people to believe you even die itself. Even if you die as a sinner, they can pray that God should give you heaven. There's nothing like that. God has a perfect plan. He wants to filter the people of the world. So that the people he will take to that other world are not going to have anything to do with the devil again. Praise the Lord. They're not going to be wicked people. They'll be righteous people. They'll be his children. That was his original plan. From Genesis, that was his original plan before Satan came and tempted man and caused them to fall. So he now brought forth another plan. Praise the Lord. That's the world we want to be. We want to be part of that world. We want to be part of that world. We are praying now. I'm praying that this year, God will bless us so that we'll be able to do this evangelism. Amen. Because evangelism now requires finances. When you hear me talking about prosperity, I'm not talking about prosperity so that you will get money to go and be building houses in your village or to be spending money like sinners and be proud that God has given you money. No. I'm praying that God will prosper you, prosper me, so that we have money to evangelize these sinners. Hello? I'm telling you, that's my own prosperity prayer. So somebody will not be thinking that if he has money, he's just going to show off there. He will not bring money for us to. Do you know that with 50,000, with 100,000, we can gather some sinners together and preach the gospel to them silently. Give them food to eat. Give them drink to drink. And teach them this thing I'm teaching you now. Amen? Yes, that's what we are training. And teach them. Out of 20 people, 30 people, 50 people, 100 people, you may get 2, 3, 5, 6 people that will believe. We have won those ones. Amen? Right now, we need money to do that. That's why we're believing God for prosperity. Because I've read to you Zechariah chapter 1 verse 17. The Bible says, cry yet. I'm going to read that now. Zechariah 1 verse 17. Because what we want to achieve this year, we will achieve it in Jesus' name. We want to win people to the kingdom of our God. This world is not our own. Let us not feel comfortable here. Zechariah chapter 1 verse 17. He said, cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities, true prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. And the Lord shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. The cities of our God will spread abroad true prosperity, not this one. The kingdom of our God, we will have money to propagate this word of our Lord Jesus Christ in Jesus' name. When we teach people about this kingdom in a beautiful way, I just sit down today and discover that the way some of us, holiness preachers, have preached this gospel of in the kingdom of God in the past, we have not done it very well. Amen. We make it so hard that people are running away from it. As if it's not a beautiful thing. It's not something that people should run away from. We have to make it simple for men to understand it. We have to bring it down for people to understand that God has a good plan for us. Beautiful one. It's not just something that is only inside. It will also be outside. Hallelujah. This year, God will do us good in Jesus' name. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That you will be so motivated to pray, so motivated to talk to a sinner, so motivated to believe this thing that is coming to pass. You will be so happy. It is your conviction that will make you to be able to win a soul for God. If you are not convinced, you won't do it. Amen. You won't do it. You won't do it. You look, you know, I have said it time and time. So many believers look so haggard, so, look so helpless, look so powerless, look so weary, look so weak that even sinners see them and say, this is your God, I'm not interested. This year, you will not be weary. You will not be weak. You will not be tired. You will not be poor. In the name of Jesus Christ. There should be some inner grace and zeal from you that will make you to tell a sinner, please, come. I have something better to give you. I have something more wonderful to give you. I have something more extraordinary to give you. I have something more miraculous to give you. I am believing God and I'm asking that this kingdom of our Lord Jesus that we're preaching, that every one of us will be so convinced about it in Jesus' name. You are not going to be lost in this world that you don't have time for Bible study. You don't have time for anything. You're just looking for money in the world and you don't even have the money to come for us to do the gospel. That shall not be your portion this year. You should do some work, little hours, and you get money, and you come, and we use it to preach the gospel. You'll be happy. Not to walk and walk, and you are tired, and you are fucked up, you are even complaining. Favor will come upon your way this year. You will do things that money will flow in your hand this year. Grace will flow in your hand this year. When a Christian understand the plan of his God, he will be happy serving him. He will be happy going to church. He will be happy telling sinners, telling other people do not know this thing. He will be happy convincing them. First of all, say, Father, thank you for what you have done. This is a blessing for us. We give you glory this year to step into the knees of people when they are in it. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Lord, step me up to be able to step into people's needs when they are in it. God, you will use me. When a man is crying, like a man of God is crying like this, I need this, I need this. Use me. Make me a vessel. Make me an instrument. Make me an instrument. Make me an instrument. Make me an instrument. In this area, that a man of God is crying, that somebody is yelling in need, I will step in. I will come and say, yes, God has led me. Take this. Have this. Oh God, use me. Brethren, to encourage the brethren, to encourage the preachers of righteousness. Use me, oh God, this year. Let my life be enlarged to be on the giving side, to put smile into the faces of people. That is what it is. Holy Ghost, help us this year. That is the excess of righteousness. That's why we are children of our Father. You will use us, oh God. You will use us, oh God. You will use us, oh God, to be able to put smiles into the faces of men. Glory be to your name. Thank you, blessed Father. We give you praise. You are able. Thank you, our God. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Lift up your heart. I stand upon this testimony to declare to you that your own testimony is coming now. Receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. The favor that will lift you up this year, receive it right now. The favor that will increase your faith this year, receive it right now. The favor that will make you to be more serious in serving God, receive it now in the name of Jesus. That all the doors that God has opened, you will enter into it. You enter into it. You enter into it. You enter into it. You will be so serious and so strong and so motivated in the things of God this year in the name of Jesus. Because you will not lack. You will not lack. You will prosper. Your faith will increase. You will grow in the knowledge of God. You will be more happy in serving God in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, blessed Father. Because I know you have answered. In Jesus' name, I pray.